Blog Talk Radio.
My ideas and content must be a reality, so all my dreams can come to be a possibility. All success start with a decision just to try. Failing is inevitable if we do not fight. Knowing your purpose, meaningful life. Great execution bring confidence in your smile. If you believe, then you can fly. Don't waste no more time, you can soar up to the sky. Say I'm a winner, greatest live inside of me. Nothing you can do to stop me.
Hello, I'm Don Daler, and this is 2020 In Touch. Although it's not talked about openly today, exorcism is practiced by the Catholic Church almost daily somewhere in the world. Elizabeth Vargas travels to Rome, where there is a growing demand for the ritual of exorcism.
Hold it, hold it.
Oh, no!
Leave.
No!
No! Leave.
It is something this Los Angeles woman, seen in the documentary Satan Unmasked, says brought her...
Glory to God.
Sound check, testing one. Can anyone hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brother Pipes?
He was.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Hey, thank you, Brother Mike. I need to make a thank you for helping me earlier.
Oh, no problem.
Can anyone hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to turn it over to you guys. I just wanted to make announcements for our audience. I have, and for all staff members, I'm trying to get a hold to all of staff members, Brother Michael and Pastor Steve. I'll try to get you guys tomorrow. We have a serious meeting because the Lord has blessed this radio ministry. We now have a contract with Derek Prince Ministries to be able to release all the teachings from Japan in Japanese, also in Swahili, also in Arabic, and we do have a brother now who is launched and has assisted us in our technical department in Finland. We're up to 423 subscribers, but we need to pray because we got a lot of people listening, but we got to get the income to come in, and this has been a challenge.
Amen.
And God has revealed to me that we have a principality over this radio station that tries to shut down our finances, and that can't be. So live deliverance internet radio, we are moving into teaching. All of our teaching is going to be coming from information that we have. From Derek Prince Ministries has given us permission to put the teaching in Japanese, Swahili, Mongolian, and we are downloading that as of today. Another thing, too, that live deliverance internet radio is doing, we have a jump of 62.26% since we have launched live deliverance, 24-hour internet radio that's on right now, and we have the teachings of Derek Prince that's running right now. Also on Mondays, this teaching with Pastor Steve Lee will be on Mondays. We are working on allowing, as Pastor Steve or Brother Michael teach the Word of God, that it can be streamed also through our live stream. We're working on that also.
Mm-hmm.
December of 2020, I will not be in the United States. I'm making a permanent move to two countries. 6 months in Jamaica and 6 months in the United States. And the Lord has opened up a door. I'll be living in a comfortable facility at the church at Greater Works International Ministries in the communications department, which is nice, air-conditioned. And I'm able to launch the radio ministry more effective in Jamaica. We have been involved with Greater Works International Ministry for 13 years out of Kingston, Jamaica. Apostle Andrew J. Scott and Ambassador Dorothy Scott, the wife of Pastor Andrew J. Scott. And I will be running the radio ministry and still be able to communicate with people with the regular telephone number just as I'm in the United States. But I'm making an announcement. As of today, we are no longer doing deliverance people with free service. That, you know, a labor is not worthy of its hire. And it's just so much work doing deliverance for people, 8-9 hours. And, well, that's going to have to be a requirement of income because the Lord's revealed to me I can't let nobody take advantage of the labor and people don't sow. So in the Bible, Jesus did not charge anyone to cast out demons. I'm not charging. We're going to set a seed sowing process because it takes so much time dealing with a person with demons. And very few churches and pastors really dig into this area of ministry that's lacking in the body of Christ. And he had a lot of deliverance in the radio. We've made some tremendous change. I want to thank Pastor Steve Lee. He's the assistant pastor, Apostle Brother Mike. He's the assistant also here, and Sister Candace Durden, myself, and a newcomer, Brother Tommy, who is working and teaching in Finland and also interpreting Finnish doctrine to the Finnish people. And we are getting wonderful responses from Finland. February 17, 2020, Live Deliverance Internet Radio will be streaming live out of Trinidad, Tobago, with a international deliverance session in the Caribbean. It's going to be in February, in Trinidad, Tobago. Again, Live Deliverance Internet Radio have a 24/7 apostolic radio station. We have a contract with YouTube. God is opening up doors tremendously in this ministry now. We also need those who hear us pray against this spirit that tries to come up to hinder our finances. And that's what the devil do when you're getting the word out. Okay, God bless everybody. I'm not going to interrupt the pastor. Brother Michael, I just want to tell you that my Steelers got beat real bad, Big Mike.
Big Mike, Jesus.
Y'all got to pray for me. I'm gonna get off the air now. I did a little laugh. Pastor, I'm getting off this air. Go do your thing, Pastor. Big Mike, love you, and I'll talk to y'all when I try to reach the staff. We have to get together. Everybody on this staff, they and all of you, Pastor Steve. Let me say this for those who listen to me and Brother Mike. These brothers don't get one dime, and it's about time that they get paid. And we can no longer allow people to, these men serve God and people don't sow a seed, man. That's changing, because when we do deliverance, the process of every person that does deliverance, if they're non-church member, we will charge them. That preceding money will go so that we can pay Brother Michael and Brother Steve and people. These men work just like everybody else. They may be part-time, but they're not part-time in God's eyesight. You understand, Pastor Steve?
Yeah, right.
And that's my heart, and it's going to work, and we're going to do that. So non-members, if you want deliverance, there's going to be a charge. That charge fee will be going to retain services for these men so that we can sow seeds in their lives to make their lives better. They're on the front line just as well as I, and God shows no respect to person. Without further ado, I'll turn it over to Brother Mike, and he's going to run it where Pastor Steve can bring the word. Thank you so much, and y'all have a good evening.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. All right, folks. Well, good evening and praise the Lord. Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am Brother Mike, your host this evening, and tonight we have Pastor Steve Lee, and we are glad to be back with you once again. We thank you for your continued support. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. And as you've already heard in the announcement, if you haven't, please go back and listen to it in the broadcast and the archives. But thank you for continuing to pray for us and to be here with us each and every week, week in and week out. Now, that being said, we're going to go ahead and get ready to turn it over. The title of tonight's teaching is God is Able, and it's being brought to you by Pastor Steve Lee. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Mike. Brothers and sisters, let's just pray and go ahead and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. That healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. God is able. You know, God kind of dropped this in on me last week and just began to ask some questions and give me some downloads. You know, that's a statement, God is able, that has been heard around the world. And there's no doubt about the power of these words. However, just saying these powerful words does not bring victory into your life. It doesn't even change the situations in my life. Action is required. If faith does not have corresponding works, James chapter 2, verse 17 says it's dead. In fact, let's just turn over there. See, because people are be waiting on God to do what God has commissioned and authorized us to do. And we put ourselves in a position where we are stalemated in both our growth and our ability to win. Okay? We've got to get past this. We have been given by God's Spirit, we've been given victory. That's what it says. It says he always causes us to triumph. He gives us the victory. Okay, and I just kind of really see, I'm thinking about how I think, how I thought, and how what that thought has done to me. Last week, my wife and my granddaughter, we were having a little Bible study fellowship, and I asked them to ask three questions always about every thought that comes into your mind. Ask the first thought, where did that thought come from? All right, that's the first thing we should do, is ask, where did that thought come from? The second thing we should do is ask, where is that thought taking me? Because if the thought is not taking me anywhere, then I probably shouldn't be participating in it, because God is interested in motion. When we were first introduced to God, the Spirit of God moved on the face of the earth. So we were introduced to a God that was moving. So if there is a thought that comes to your life that does not bring or activate motion, that probably wasn't a thought from God. God wants you to redeem the time, not waste the time. So the first question that you should ask, the thought. And yeah, I speak to thoughts, I speak to spirits, because I found that if I don't, they're going to speak to me. And they're going to waste my time, take my energy, and cause me not to be able to win. So why should I not do what the man told me to do? See, he asked me to speak to spirits, find out if the spirit is of God. See, so that I talk to spirits, I talk to thoughts, so that I can win. Because if I don't know where the thought came from, then I'm probably going to be led down the road that I don't need to be walking down. If I don't know where the thought is taking me, because the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29:11, these are the thoughts that I think. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. They are thoughts that will bring you to or give you an expected end. So thoughts from God should take me someplace. See, and a lot of times the devil would cause us to just have idle thoughts, thoughts that are not going anywhere or producing anything. They are there just to cause time to be wasted. Okay, so the first question is, where did that thought come from? The second thing that I say is, where is that thought taking me? And the third one is, what did that thought do while it was here? Because if it didn't build me up, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 32, the Apostle Paul was writing, and he said, "And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. See, so if the thought is not bringing me to the place where I can receive, understand, and walk in my inheritance, that's a thought I need to throw away. So what did that thought do? Did it cause me to be built up? Or did it just leave me at a plateau that caused me not to be able to get to victory? Take me to a place where I just keep trying to climb up the rough side of the mountain. See? I mean, God gives me victory. He doesn't make me climb up the rough side of the mountain. See? And if the thought comes to me where I have to do things that the word did not tell me to do, do things that emotionally I think I should do just because it felt good, do things that historically everybody has told me I need to do. But if I don't see it in the word, because my steps are ordered in his word, okay, I take that seriously. Because the devil is trying to cause me to walk in a land of hurts and pains, a land of where the past dictates what happens in my future. That's not the way God said. That's not his thought. His thoughts that he thinks towards me are thoughts of peace, and they will give me hope and a future. They will bring me to an expected end. See? So these are just things that we need to understand. If I'm just going to say God is able and leave it there, then I'm not participating in the plan of God fully. Okay? Faith without works is dead. And he says the reason why is it's left alone. Let's look at this, starting in verse 14. In chapter 2 of the book of James, okay? He asks us some questions. He said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and he does not have corresponding actions or works, then can his faith save him? Okay? If I just have a talk, words that just come out, but they don't have corresponding actions, the question that he asked is, can the faith or the words that you say, can they save you? Last week, again, when I was talking to my wife and my granddaughter, they answered the question, and they answered the question, if you would, from a religious perspective. And they said, well, you know, how do you cause your mind to be renewed? And the statement said, well, we keep the word before us. And that sounds good. But a hearer of the word and the one that doesn't do the word, this same book of James, says that that man deceives his own heart. If he doesn't do something, if he doesn't execute the thing that he has been saying, okay? And that's, again, just so that you can see that, see, you back up to in chapter 2, just back up just a little bit, okay? And look at verse 22. And he asks us, this is the same writer. See, so I'm not just reaching for something that's not in the same book. He says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So he's asking you, if you're going to say that God is able, then you're supposed to be a co-laborer with God. And see, again, this, I'm not talking about taking you into works. I'm taking you to the place where what you say lines up with what you do. Otherwise, what you say is not going to have any effect. If a man say he has faith, verse 14 in chapter 2. He says, if a man say he have faith, but he doesn't do anything, there are no corresponding actions to what he said, then let's ask the question, can faith save him? Is faith active then? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be warmed, and be filled, notwithstanding, ye give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? This is a man that says he has faith, that he has been connected to God to be able to meet the needs of others. And the others come into their life, and they need food, and they need clothing, and you say, be clothed, be warmed, be filled, and don't give him nothing. He says, so did it work? Was there any profit to it? Then he asks the question, makes the statement in verse 17. Even so, understand this. This is an analogy that you should process in your faith application. Even so, faith, if it does not have corresponding works, is dead. I didn't say that. God said that. So then I'm asking the question, is God able? But if I'm making confession, but I'm not moving in that direction, I'm not doing the things that my mouth has said should be in my life, then it says those words now are dead. Even so, faith, because it does not have corresponding action. You know, Peter had little faith, and he began to sink. I don't want God to say about me that I have dead faith. Because he just said here, if you don't have corresponding actions, even so, faith that does not have corresponding actions is dead. I mean, if I were you, I would circle that, underline that, something, stars. And then he says, why? It is dead because it functions, stands alone. It does not have the support structure of actions. Okay? He says that even so, faith, if it does not have corresponding action, is dead because it's alone. Faith has to always work in two dimensions at the same time. If it's only verbal and it has no application, the man just said that faith is dead. Okay, I'm just looking at this. It's alone. Let's say it from this perspective. That faith is dead because it has no witness. It's alone. Okay, come on. When you say what the word says in Mark chapter 16, verse 20 says that Jesus was going to work with you, confirming his word with signs following. Okay? So in other words, he's going to allow your words to have testimony or witness with signs following. So if my faith does not have corresponding actions, it does not have witness. Okay? I just want you to kind of look at that, see that. Because a lot of times we are saying things that God is able, but we haven't given God anything to work through. Okay, let's try it that way. If I say something with my mouth, then I should give God the ability to work through what I said. I'm not going to even say work with what I said, because he doesn't need help if it's his word. Okay? His word doesn't need help working through. His word needs you to allow him to work with. I'm sorry. His word needs something to work through.
He's not looking for your help. He's looking for your agreement. Okay? And the only way that you can display agreement is that you move in the direction of your words. Okay? Because we are notorious for this. We just say over and over again, you know, God is able, God is doing it. And then I ask the question, what are you doing? Because he asks, what does it profit, my brethren? If you say you have faith, but you don't have corresponding actions, can the faith that you just recited, can it save you? And he says, the answer in verse 17 is no, because it's dead. It has no witness. It's alone. It's just by itself. I mean, just if you would, brothers and sisters, go and read the word, and then when you see something that stands out like being alone, ask the question. God doesn't mind you asking. This same book here in verse 8 of chapter 1 says that if you don't have wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give to every man liberally and upbraid not. He's not mad because you ask him. He's the one that said, come, let us reason together. He wants to talk to you. He wants to empower you by his word. He wants to deal with the thoughts that are inoperative in your life. The first things that he told his man was to be fruitful and multiply. So he doesn't want inoperative thoughts in your life. He wants thoughts that are going to increase. He wants thoughts that multiply. Okay, I'll say this. He wants thoughts that will allow him to live big in your life. If you have small thoughts, then you're going to display a small God. Again, in 2 Chronicles, it says, the eyes of the Lord are running over the whole earth, verse 16:9, running over the whole earth to show himself strong. He didn't say to show himself weak. He didn't say to show up as a maybe God. He wants to show up as a strong God, in the behalf of those that have a mature or perfect heart towards him. So he wants your thoughts to increase. He wants your thoughts to multiply. He wants your thoughts to grow. He wants your thoughts to display the greatness of his ability, the greatness of his power. He recognized from Jump Street that you weren't able to do it. But if he can get your agreement, then he'll do it through you. See? I mean, we need to get that in our heart. We have to participate. Faith requires actions. He wants to do it through you, not just doing it for you. If he does it through you, it'll still be done for you. But if he doesn't do it through you, it becomes a whole lot more difficult to do it for you, because you never said in your heart by the actions that you do that you wanted him to actually do that. If I say I want, all right, we'll just get real with this. If I say I'm believing God for a job, but I never leave my house to go get the job that's supposed to be applied for and then qualified for and then received, if I never leave the house, I'm not agreeing with God that I want him to supply my needs. See, I'm telling him, I just want you to do whatever you want to do, God, because I'm not moving in that direction at all. I have no corresponding works for that. I have no witness for that. I'm just sitting over here by the brook waiting on you to give me a raven that's going to feed me. See? We've got to grow up, beloved. We are in the last days, and God wants to show himself strong in the last days. He wants you to be able to enjoy the former and the latter rain in the same season. All right, let's just throw that one out there. See, that's what God is asking us to do. He wants to show multiplication and increase in your life, the former and the latter rain in the same season. That's increase. That's abundance. That's fulfilling what Jesus said he came for. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it with the same flow of the former and the latter rain in the same season. Okay? So we can't just make the statement, blanket statement, and say God is able. Because I asked them if you put the word in front of my granddaughter and my daughter. I said, if you put the word in front of a horse, is that word that's in front of the horse going to change the horse? No, the word requires action. And the horse hasn't been trained in what it takes to release or make those actions happen in his life. So the word, even though it was set right in front of the horse, there was no change evident in the horse. So do we do the same thing? Put the word in front of us, but we don't gravitate toward, utilize the word, hide it in our heart. We just keep it in front of us. It sounds religious. Okay? But if it's not becoming fruitful, producing in our life, then we need to go back and do this. So if you say you have faith, but you don't have any corresponding actions, that faith is dead because it's alone. Yea, this is the way it should say. A man may say that I have faith and that thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. He says, okay, you bad. Show me how that's working for you. How are you going to tell me you got faith? And nothing that you've asked God for, nothing that you're believing God for has happened in your life. Show me where your faith is producing. He said, and then I tell you what, so that we can find out who's right, who's believing God, who's growing in God. And I'll show you my faith by my works. See, I'm going to be, there is going to be a witness. You're going to know that I'm connected with him because what I say and what I'm doing line up. And you will see my faith because you see the evidence of what I was believing for. So I just can't say God is able. Ability is not a question here. Availability is what God's looking for, not ability. He's still going to be the one that does it. But if I don't connect with him and get in place, I'm not available, am I? See? I have the ability. The word was sent to me to heal me and to deliver me. But if I don't engage, then my availability is what's in question. That's why he says stuff in Isaiah chapter 55, just before he said that he sent his word and his word will not return void. He said, listen, do me a favor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Verse 6 and following. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Then he says, return unto him. Find out where he's at. Don't keep walking down a path that you don't know. You can't identify God in. Flip over there, Isaiah 55. See? I mean, we've got to get to the place where the word that we say we believe, we are walking in it, moving in it, living in it. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Why would you need to do this? Because you've been thinking wrong. Let the wicked man, let him forsake. Let him forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return to God. Don't let him keep trying to play with God. Let him get serious. Let's get knee deep. I want to be lost in his love. I want to be lost in his word. That's what Paul said, and being found in him. Well, if I'm found in him, then I'm no longer found in myself, in my thinking, in my ability. I am found in him, not having my own righteousness. See, God gives me the ability to see the scripture in my life, if it's being applied or not. See? I don't leave the word of God in the Bible, if you would. Because he told me that I'm supposed to live by this word. So if I'm going to live by this word, I can't just leave it in the Bible, on the pages, in front of me. I have to let it be alive on the inside of me. If I live by it, that means I'm going to have transfer. Okay? You eat your food, you eat your dinner. At the time you eat your dinner, there was a transfer made. That which was on your plate is now inside you. And because it's inside you, now you can live by that food that you have digested, that food that you are partaking of. I can't live by the food that's on my plate. Aroma has never brought me to victory. Just because the food smelled good, it did not bring strength to me. It might have brought hope to me because I can smell it, but I'm going to need to eat it. The transfer has to happen. Okay? If I'm just going to say God is able, then I didn't allow the transfer to take place. Because I'm just saying I have faith. But faith without corresponding actions is dead because it's left on the plate. It's left alone. It's left alone. Come on now. If I leave my food alone, it's going to always look pretty. But if I decide to consume the food, I'm going to change the way that food looks and the reaction that that food has to me. It will no longer just affect my eyes. It will affect the rest of my body. Glory to God. A living word has to affect the rest of my body. I don't need to have a pretty word. I need to have a word that is alive. He wants us to consume the word. Because that, when it gets on the inside of you, when the transfer has happened, now it can reproduce the life on the inside of you that was in the word. Glory to God. That's why he sent the word to you, so that the life in the word can now be on the inside of you. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, notice he says the rain came down. It didn't stay up. Come on, y'all. Come on. See, I can't leave the word in the heavens. I've got to find the transfer place. As the rain comes down from heaven and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither. Underline, circle. It does not return to the same place. Okay, see, come in. We got to consume it. It does not return to the same place it left. It must be consumed. It must be active. It does not return thither, but it's consumed and makes the earth bring forth and bud. Why? So that it will supply. so that it would give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. It shall multiply. It shall increase in the thing whereunto I have sent it. So I'm just trying to get you to see that we have to do more than just a mental or religious exercise. See, I have to dissect this word. Okay? I have to make it. I've got to put it in bite-sized pieces so that I can consume it. Okay? I have to rightly divide the word. Bite-sized pieces. Because I know that you'll see a promise and it'll be a grand promise. And so then you'll say, okay, good. Now God is able. No, you need to dissect, divide that word so that that word, a little bit, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. You have to put it in there that way. Don't try to take a whole promise and wait on a whole promise to come to pass, because that whole promise has not become personal to you yet. See, when I make it bite-sized, rightly divided, when I make it bite-sized pieces, then I make it part of my life. See? And once it becomes part of my life, now I can live by that word that is part of my life. See, this is not spooky or weird. I mean, I'm making it very practical. I took a plate that was in front of you and asked you, if you just look at that plate, is it going to nourish you? No, you have to cut that up into bite-sized pieces and then ingest it and then make that which is on the inside alive. Make it life on the inside of you. Okay. When you eat your food, you have an understanding that which you just ate is going to give you strength. It's going to give you ability. It's going to give you a fulfillment promise. Well, then you have to take the word of God and do it the same way. It's going to have to strengthen you. It's going to have to encourage you. It's going to have to give you a fulfillment promise. Okay? If I don't go at it and believe that which I just heard, that which I just received, is going to be able to be fulfilled in my life, then I'm not partaking. I didn't rightly divide. It might have still been too big for me. I'm still arguing with it. Come on. When you cut your food up and put it in your mouth, you don't argue with the fact that which you just consumed is going to bless you. You don't argue with that fact anymore. Your body stops arguing because you was hungry a minute ago. You had stomach pain. But as soon as you started digesting that, you had the fulfillment of a promise become alive. You didn't argue with that word anymore. Your life now that was in that word can now be lived out in your existence day to day. See? So that's what he's asking us to do. Look at James chapter 2 in the Amplified. He asked the question, what is the benefit, my fellow believers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? You don't have no evidence. Can that kind of faith save him? No. A mere claim of faith is not sufficient. Genuine faith produces good works. If a brother or sister is without adequate clothing and lacks enough food for each day, and one says to them, go in peace with my blessing, keep warm and feed yourself, but he does not give him the necessities for the body, what good does that do? So too, faith, if it does not have works that back it up, it by itself is by itself dead, inoperative, and ineffective. But Someone may say, you claim to have faith, and I have good works. But show me your alleged faith without works if you can. And I'll show you my faith by my works, that is, by what I do. You believe that there is one God, and you do well to believe that. Demons also believe that, and they shudder and bristle in awe and filled with terror. They've seen his wrath. But are you willing to recognize that you're foolish, spiritually shallow person, that faith without good works is useless? See, faith that is alive brings results. Faith that is alive brings salvation. Faith that is alive brings deliverance. That's what salvation means. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 6. Okay? Faith that is alive brings results. It brings salvation. It brings deliverance. Let's look at this. Starting at verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Listen at what the righteousness which is by faith. Listen at the conversation. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into the heavens? That is to bring what I need down. The righteousness which is by faith does not have this conversation. I just want you to see that. It says the righteousness which is by faith speaks from this perspective. It does not say who's going to do it for me. Who's going to ascend and bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend to the deep, that is to bring Christ from the dead? But what does this righteousness which is by faith say? It says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's why I told you faith has to be in two dimensions at the same time. Or it's not, it's going to abide alone. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. I want you to catch that. The word of faith. Not just the thought of faith. See, we need to have a word that is active and alive, because an active word, when spoke, brings results. But a word that is just in my memory is still not a word of faith. It's a thought of faith. Okay? We've got to get past this. These are things that are elementary that we're talking about. But we've messed them up so bad and attached so much religion to them that we leave them inoperative in our lives. That is the word of faith which we preach. Listen at him. Verse 9. That is, if you will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Did you see both of them connected? Believing in the heart, having a word that's near you in your heart, got it. But you're going to have to say something, because when you say it, it now has a transfer ability. It's made unto salvation. See? If I listen at these words with religious ears and I don't apply what he said, then my confession is not going to be made into anything. Words that are active and alive, they bring results. But if they are not, they cause frustration, perspiration, desperation, and humiliation. See, if I don't have a live word, a word that I believe in my heart, because when I believe it in my heart, I believe unto righteousness. I believe unto the way it ought to be. And then because it ought to be this way, my mouth goes to moving. And when my mouth goes to moving about what I believe, those words are alive and they will bring salvation. They will be made, they will transfer unto my deliverance. So then faith, if it does not have works to back it up, it is by itself and it's dead, inoperative, and effective. See? We have to allow confirming signs. We have to allow productivity. If I don't allow productivity, then I start functioning in shame and I live in doubt. Where there is no produce, where there is no productivity, I function in shame because I feel like a liar. And because I feel like a liar, now a liar has to then live in doubt because he doesn't believe what he said will come to pass. See? This is how the devil has messed us up. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we desire of him. See, I'm taking the guesswork out of it. There's no doubt here. See? Now, the ability that God is looking for is connected to my availability, and I shall have whatsoever I say. Jesus said some interesting things about faith and the guarantees that faith it's supposed to work in my life. Let's turn to John chapter 8. Verses 26 to 32. I mean, these are guarantees that Jesus has put in front of me that I'm supposed to put in my life. See, we just got to begin to address the conditions of our life by the word that God sent for our direction. These are the steps that we have been preordained to walk in. See? These are they. Let's start with verse 26. Jesus said some interesting thing. Watch this. He was talking to them because they were arguing with him, telling him that he was not connected to God. And so Jesus said, well, let me just show you, okay? I'm going to deal with this. You don't hear my words because you're not thinking from the same position that I'm thinking from. He said, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. And I speak those things that I speak to the world those things that I've heard of him. He says, I got a bunch of stuff that I want to say. And I'm going to even allow judgment of those things or an assessment of those things to be given from me to you, from you because of me. I'm going to say things to you, and you're going to argue with them because you don't believe that he that sent me is true. And what I'm doing right here is I'm speaking these things that he sent me to say so that I can have those things in the atmosphere. So then Jesus just gave us the ability to enter into a different atmosphere. Because he spoke those things into the world, into our atmosphere. Okay? And he did it because God wanted those words in your life. So he put them in the atmosphere so that you can then put them in your heart. Okay? I want you to see this. Jesus was telling them these things from the beginning. And watch this. And they did not understand that he was speaking to them of the Father. He was bringing active words from heaven. Oh, I hope you see this. He was bringing active, alive words from heaven. And they didn't understand that these words came from the Father. Might I ask a question in our lives? How many words has God sent into the atmosphere that you live in to cause you to come out of a situation, to come out from under a circumstance, and you didn't understand that those words were spoken by the Father to bring you out? Selah. It's been happening from the time Jesus said these words till today. And then Jesus said, tell you what, I'm going to make it easy. When the Son of Man is lifted up, then you'll know that I am he. And that you'll know that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, these things are what I speak. As the Father has taught me, you need to just Selah right there. How did God teach him? He taught him spirit to spirit. Jesus availed his spirit to the Spirit of God. He made his spirit, kept his spirit in contact with God. Made his spirit slow down and hear that these words that are being spoken into the atmosphere are words of life from the Father. And every time you hear a word from the Father, he's trying to teach you how to think like him, how to talk like him. These things, I do nothing of myself, but as I have been taught, that's why I speak. You should not be speaking things you have not been taught. If you have questions, don't speak. He says, I only speak things because I've been taught them. If I still got questions, just shut your mouth. Go back and ask God, since you don't have the wisdom, ask God, and he will give the wisdom to you, and he will give it liberally. He will give it to the point where what the word that he gives you will address and overcome every thought that the devil tells you about failure, about God not being on your side, not being able to do. You will be taught of him that what he said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? He'll continue to go back over it until you are abundantly sure that this which was spoken is going to happen in my life. Then I can speak these things. And he that has sent me, verse 29 is good. And he that has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. He said, he that has sent me is with me. Or the word that I have, the word that I released in the atmosphere, that power that he gave me with that word is still present. The Bible says in, I think it's Luke 4, 527 or 517, it says that the power of the Lord was present here, 517. The power of the Lord, every time Jesus showed up, the power of the Lord was present to heal. He that sent me, the power of the Lord was present to heal. He has not left me. See? Because I'm not doing this on my own. I'm not making this up. And I only do those things which please him. As he spake these words, people began to believe on it. And then Jesus said, now you're making a connection that's going to be able to bless you, that's going to be able to work in your life. And he spoke to them and said, if you continue on the words that are in the atmosphere, the words that are alive, if you continue in those words, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It didn't say set you free. It said make you free. See? Because when you stay in the word, the confession that you have when you believe in your heart, that confession is made unto you salvation. If you continue in those words, that truth, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That which you become intimate with. If you want to become intimate with worry, frustration, anxiety, and fear, then that which you are intimate with will make you whatever you are. Okay? If I continue to be intimate with fear and frustration and anxiety, then I will be intimate with my bondage. I will know the lie, and the lie will cause me to be in bondage. It will make me in bondage. Whatever I am intimate with, and the word know there is the word from intimacy. If you continue in my word, that which has been released in the atmosphere, come on, y'all, trying to get you to see, God knows you're in a bad situation, and in your bad situation, he will send a word to you. He will send a word that will change your atmosphere, and if you will be intimate with the word that is in the sense that's in your atmosphere, continue with it. Break it down. Divide that word, and that word that you are intimate with will cause liberty. It will make you free. See? Jesus gave them some things to think about. He started with truth from the Father, and he spoke that truth. Only the things that the Father had taught him, and he placed confidence in that truth. See, we don't place confidence in the word that comes from the Father. We don't place confidence in the new that he put in my atmosphere. This is what we do. God sends us a word that's new in our atmosphere, and we rehearse the things that are already in our existence. He doesn't want you to continue. He did not tell you if you continue in what is existing, then you'll be made free. He said if you continue in the new word that I just put in the atmosphere. I have many things to speak to you, many things to be able to be proved. And these things I have spoken in the world. I spoke them in the atmosphere that was that had you trapped. And I'm saying to you that this atmosphere that just took my word, the atmosphere that just took my word, if you will take that same word, the way the atmosphere took that word, it'll cause you to be free. For my word will not return to me void, but it will prosper in the thing. See, it will accomplish that which I please. See, he's changing your atmosphere. But if you're going to keep rehearsing your existence, then you're going to stay where you were because you become intimate with your existence instead of your escape. Because he sent his word to cause you to be able to escape. The word continued there. Comes from the Strong's Greek word. It's the word 3306, meno. And I'm going to ask you, what do you know? I know meno. I know what he said. It means to stay in a given place or state, relation or expectancy, to abide, to continue, to dwell, endure, to be present and remain, to stand, to tarry for thine own. He wants me to continue. He wants me to stay in the atmosphere that he just spoke. Because he said, if you continue in my word, not if you continue in facts, What I believe we do is we continue in the facts or the experience. And we forget that God sent a word into my experience. He sent a word into my atmosphere. That if I continue in the word that was spoken, and now, brother, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace that's able to build you up and give you an inheritance. See? If I continue in the word, not continue in the evidence. Because he's given me a word that he spoke into my atmosphere that will change whatever was around me. Don't you remember that God said that the worlds were framed by the word of God? They were framed by words, and he's sending that into the atmosphere. God spoke into darkness. He spoke into that which was void, and he said, light be. And then because he allowed that to continue, light was. And then everything came out of the light that was. So everything that you need is going to come out of what he spoke into the atmosphere. It's going to come out of that word. And if I would continue in that word that he sent to my atmosphere, see, then I'll be able to affect the change. Because I will frame my world by the word that he put in the atmosphere. I will change my experience by that word that he spoke into the atmosphere. In John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus again was dealing with this premise. And he answered them and said, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you that the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever he doeth the Father, these also doeth the Son likewise. So then I begin to ask myself the question, if I am the Son of God, and I am, if I were created in his image, and I am, if I was created after his likeness, and I am, then the things that I see my Father do, those are the things that I will do likewise. I will speak into the atmosphere and let the word that I spoke into the atmosphere that came from the Father, because I have confidence in that word that came from the Father, I will speak that word, and then because my atmosphere is changing, glory, 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 glory. Because my atmosphere is changing, the condition of my heart is changing, then it will change the condition of my experience. But if I'm not going to allow the word that was spoken into my atmosphere to change my heart, then I can guarantee that my circumstances will not change. See? I'm looking from the wrong perspective. And I'm saying, God is able. No, he's not, because you won't allow him. God's ability has never been in question. It's the connection to that ability. It's availability that he's looking for. Do we know? Do we continue in the state of expectancy? Did we remain and stand or tarry for what is our own? I want you to get that. He said that the meno means to tarry for that which is our own. I don't have to listen to the devil's lies. The devil's lies don't belong to me. He is the father of lies. He lies from the beginning. So that a lie doesn't belong to me. Jesus said, I will know truth. He didn't say I'm supposed to be intimate with a lie. That doesn't belong to me. When the devil speaks of his lie, he speaks of his own. So why am I participating in the devil's stuff? Why don't I just, God gave me a word that's my own. He spoke into my atmosphere. And notice, Jesus said that the Father didn't leave me alone. The Father didn't move. Come on, come on. You remember Jeremiah chapter 1:12 says that God watches over his word to perform it. Or in other words, God and his word are connected with a very short string. He didn't move. He watches over that word that he gave you. Whatever he's spoken to your atmosphere, he's watching over that word to perform it. He didn't leave you alone. That word was sent to let you know that God was still here. He watches over his word to bring it to pass because God now is able because availability is connected to ability. See? And notice the way he said, when you have a heart that's connected this way, he said, then Jesus speaks to those that believe. He didn't say nothing to those that didn't believe. He waited till he had a connection, and then he said, if you continue. He's waiting on the proper response. Then he said, if you continue, you will be my disciple. You'll be disciplined in what you do. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then becomes our switch to victory. If we don't continue in his word, we stay in our bondage. Inside the conversations of our past. Inside the limitations of our present facts. And we disconnect from the truth that will cause us to be made free. God is able. See? I mean, we've got to get to the place where we function from this position. Don't function because facts speak louder than truth. I want you to function from the position that truth is all I need because truth will cause my freedom. Truth will cause my liberty. Truth will, let's say it this way, truth will make my liberty. Okay, that's so good. Truth will develop. It will cause things to align until the point where I am made free. See? I mean, I'm hoping that you're getting this. Those are words. I pay particular attention to the words. He said it would make you free. So that every time I say what God says and agree with it in my heart and have an active word in my heart, God is then recreating my atmosphere to the thing so that it will then begin to cause me to look at the situation from a different perspective. I will no longer be bound by experience. I will no longer be bound by the past. I will now be motivated by revelation that God just spoke into my atmosphere. He spoke into my now. See? He knew I was in trouble. He knew I was frustrated. But he spoke into my now. And if I would continue into that which he spoke into my now, it has the responsibility. I don't even have the responsibility now. The truth now makes me free. It didn't say I had to make myself free. The truth makes me free. It recreates me to the point where I no longer see myself bound by that which used to hold me. Because I stay I stay intimate with the word spoken in my atmosphere. Peter had this experience, and the Bible says that when the angel smote him, then the chains fell off. It didn't say Peter unlocked the chains. It didn't say the soldiers unlocked the chains. It says the chains fell off. Then he got up, got dressed, and started walking. And then they came to the gate that led to the city. It was not the gate that led to the prison. It was the gate that led to the city. He was no longer bound. And then when he got to that gate, the gate opened of his own accord because truth made him free. Glory to God. See, we just need to know that God, who watches over his word, has the same ability if I would give him availability to my heart, to my thought. He knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits and no restraints. Okay? But I restrain him because I continue to watch my experiential past rather than look at the word that is alive that was sent to heal me, the word that was sent to deliver me. God is able, but he needs your assistance through agreement to allow him to do what's greater than you can even imagine. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can dare ask or think, according to the power that works in you. If there is no active faith that produces corresponding actions, then the power is not working in you, and God cannot do what he wants to do. The choice is yours. Your way or God's way. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you. And we bless you that we know that you're able, but your ability is waiting on our availability so that you can then take us from glory to glory. You can take us from faith to faith, that we would be able to participate in the word that was able to build us up and give us an inheritance. Thank you, Father, that our mind is going to ask the questions, where did this thought come from? What is this thought doing? And where is this thought going? So that we can experience the victory and the liberty that's in Christ Jesus. That we will experience your love, a love that never fails and causes us to redound to the glory of God. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor for that, sir. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and open up lines for commentary. For those of you listening, if you would like to be able to provide commentary, just press option 1 on your phone, and that way we'll know that that you're wanting to speak to us in the queue. So we're going to go ahead and start with area code 312-33.
Praise God. Just delighted to hear that you're back on the air again. And I wanted to say something about the book of James, as a matter of fact, the scriptures that you taught on. And I want to talk a little bit about faith. Because that's interesting insofar as when you talked the last time, and I said that when they were in the ship and going over to the other side, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And then when it got turbulent, even though Jesus was asleep in the boat, when he awoke and talked to them, he said, how is it you have no faith?
Right. That's correct.
And then faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you talk about faith, just because you say something one time,
right.
does not necessarily mean that you have the faith to execute whatever it is that you're trying to do or that you think you should be able to do.
Correct.
And I just wondered if you could talk on that for just a second. How do you get the faith to the point? How do you know that you're at the point where your faith should work?
Okay. Faith is the substrate or the thing that holds you up. So then if I'm saying a thing, but I'm not supported by what I'm saying, then the faith is not active. the faith it could be being developed, amen, that's a good thing. But if I have, because Jesus said to have, Mark chapter 11, told us to have the faith of God. And whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believeth those things that he saith shall come to pass, then he shall have whatsoever he saith. So when I say it and I'm hoping that it'll happen, no, that's not what Jesus said. He said, when I say it and I believe that it would happen. Faith is still being developed because hope is still alive. But when I have confidence, according to 1 John chapter 5, 13 and 14, it says, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, then we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. See, I'm not trying to convince God. I know God heard me, and I know that since he heard me, what I said, as Jesus referred, that mountain is now going to be picked up and moved. It's no longer going to be in front of me. But it takes time to put those things in there, and I just line up on line, here a little and there a little. I can't take a promise. That's what we said today. I can't look at a promise and try to gobble the whole promise. I have to dissect it, make it, divide it rightly for me in my life. I know what experiences I've gone through. And if my experience still speaks louder than his promise, then I'm not going to release faith. I'm just going to release, I hope so. That's not faith. It's being developed. But faith says, oh, no, 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 no. God says when the Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace, they didn't have hope. They had faith. They said, look here, Cain, we ain't troubled about this. We have no issue with this. We know that we are not going to bow down. But if for some reason that what we believe don't happen, no, okay, we're not going to bow down. Their faith brought Jesus to the scene a whole lot different. It had never been seen before that God showed up on in the scene to walk in the problem with them and cause deliverance to be on that level. It was so evident that the king said, there is no God that can deliver after this sort. See, that's faith being developed because they walked in it day after day, day after day. Not situation after situation. That's good, sir. We try to walk in faith from situation to situation. No, we have to walk in faith from day to day. And then every situation that comes up in the day, my faith will meet it. We do it backwards. Okay, did that
Thank
help you?
It helps a lot. And you just reinforce that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Thank you.
Correct. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Wow. What we're here for is we're here to help you to grow in faith, all right, not to have you to grow in routines and rituals, because that's what a lot of times we've done. We just said, well, I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it, and it'll happen. No, you say it because it's alive on the inside. If it's not alive on the inside, then you don't have corresponding actions. There's no support structure. All you're doing is following vain repetition. That's not faith. Faith has to be alive. Okay? I mean, we just got to kind of get there. If God doesn't condemn us because we are growing in faith, because we are developing faith, he is trying to get us to continue to walk with him. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say jump in where you fit in. He said, follow me. Make it a part of your everyday life. Follow. Then you will find out, just like Enoch found out, that God, because he walked with God, God just said, boy, you might as well just come on, go home with me. You are following me. You are further than you were before. No sense of me even sending you back to the house. Just come on. That's where he wants us to be. It will happen because there is going to come a catching away of the saints. Come on. And when we look like him, he will come and he will take us away. Why? Because we are operating in faith, not trying to get a situation resolved because we have no other choice. Okay. Let's walk in faith. Let's walk in it. Amen. Brother Mike.
Amen. All right. Area code 470-418. 470-418. Be on the mic.
Amen. 470-418. Amen.
All right.
Again, thank you for being on the call.
352-870. 352-870.
You have the mic. Area code 352-870. Amen. Again, thank you for just being on the call and giving us an opportunity here at Live Deliverance to impart into your spirit. Oh, that's good, sir. We are imparting things into your spirit. We're not trying to impart things into your mind because your mind does not allow. It's an enemy of God, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. We are speaking things into your spirit, and as you allow your spirit to operate in liberty, then the things that you've been believing God for will begin to manifest because God honors his word, okay? But if you're going to try to get these things done in intellect, through reasoning, that's not where you find God. God is a God of faith, not a God of intellect. He's not the God of the mind. He wants you to get that thing renewed because that thing has always argued with God, fought God, resisted God, and he's trying to get you to the place where you can resist the devil instead of assisting the devil, and then you can assist God and resist the devil. Amen. Amen, Brother Mike. Thank you again.
All right, Pastor Steve, that looks like that is the end of our list of callers for tonight. Is there anything else that you would like to close out on before we bring the broadcast to a close?
Amen. Just go back and you can go back and get the broadcast and listen, because these things, again, they are revealed to your spirit, and your spirit can hear everything that was spoken, and Jesus will then, Holy Ghost will bring you back to your remembrance what was spoken. Amen. But if you try to go and dredge it up in your intellect, you're going to find problems. You're going to find frustration. Let's serve him. God is looking for those that would serve him in spirit and in truth. I didn't hear your mind involved in that at all, period. Let's learn to do it God's way, because when we do it God's way, we can enjoy God results. Not just good results, God results. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike.
Amen. All right, folks. Well, that does bring our broadcast to a close tonight. If you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com, you can sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com there and just click on the donate tab. Also, if you want to listen to any of the broadcasts that have been on the broadcast on the station before, you can also do that as well at www.blogtalkradio.com/livedeliverance, where you can go back to the archives and listen to any of the teachings that you've heard here. With that being said, if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone, and have a good night.
Amen. Shalom.